Hey there, nerds. We're back with another episode of Two Nerdy Dads. I'm with Jason. It's episode 7. And on the other line, we've got Jason Applegate, the man, the myth, the legend.
Thanks. Hey, everybody. Episode 7, lucky number 7.
Now, many of you may not be aware, but we've talked about where we are located. I'm in Las Vegas as per norm. Jason, who is usually in Michigan, is still in Iowa. We wish him good luck. Hope he's okay. Iowa.
Yeah, it's great. It's been gorgeous. We did have a tornado warning yesterday, which is kind of interesting, but we're all safe. No damage done. So enjoying the beautiful weather and time with family, which is important.
Excellent. Have you seen any baseball ghosts in cornfields?
Not yet. Not yet.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
Yes. It is a little bit, but I'll keep an eye out for them.
Soldier on for us, man. We want to.
I will.
All right.
I will.
Anyway, what do we have on the slate today?
Well, you want to talk about current event topics? I know that the Rick Remender storyline has been a pretty hot topic. We start
Let's hit that one.
Okay. It's basically there's been some kind of controversy about it in Captain America. I believe it's issue number 22. Falcon is, I haven't read the issue myself personally, I've just sort of followed the controversy, wakes up next to a character who at one point, I guess it's Emil Zola's daughter, so at one point in the storyline she was 14, and so he wakes up next to her, but then on the same page that I saw, it refers to him having a flashback at the, you know, he's kind of having this, like, what the heck happened moment. And it flashes back to where she's saying, hey, have some more wine. And he's like, I only drink one glass. She's like, come on, live it up. I've had this wine since my birthday when I turned 23. So there's the controversy of, well, you know, what's going on? How can she be from 14 to 23 all of a sudden? And then they're saying, in the Z dimension, and only this could only happen in, like, you know, comic books, right? Where in the Z dimension, you age faster or something to that effect. So, anyway, there's this whole thing where people were doing on social media, you know, a hashtag of Fire Rick Remender, and then of course that got some backlash of, like, you guys don't know what you're talking about, blah blah blah. So it was an interesting controversy, and I just thought maybe we'd touch on it briefly. I know what my opinion of it is, and I know you didn't know much about it, but maybe you've got a quick opinion on what you think of the whole spiel.
Yeah, it's funny. You told me a little bit about it, and I do not read Captain America. Nothing against Captain America. I just didn't grow up with it, so I don't read it. I had no idea this was even going on. And when you explained it, that Falcon's a 14-year-old, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, kidding me with a, you know, a daughter much younger, but still a daughter of my own. I'm like, man, that's not cool. I don't like how that included in the comic book. And then as you just explained, she could potentially be 23 and in a different dimension, taking that into account. It's like, what?
What? Yeah.
I don't understand. What? So, no, I don't like the idea that there's any allusion to her being 14 years old. But if it's one of those things where, and again, I don't know much about it, but if it's one of those things where Remender is picking up from another writer, and another writer alluded to she was 14, and Remender has always had it in his mind that she's older, it's like, okay. But I honestly don't know. I just think it's weird.
I know part of what complicates it is that Falcon is one of the very few black superheroes. So you had a contingent that was saying, why are blacks always being portrayed as, especially males, as, you know, misogynistic, overly sexualized, violent, that kind of a thing, too. So, yeah, that angle. My opinion is that this is a perfect example of social media and how things can get out of hand.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with what happened, I mean, from I've only seen the one page that was in the article because I haven't picked up the issue myself, but, you know, it seems pretty clear that the character is now 23 years old. When she was 14, who knows? I don't know how that whole thing worked. I mean, it's a comic book, so crazy stuff happens. But, you know, I think it's just the example of people latching on to something and wanting it to be controversial. And then I think where it exploded maybe is with an initial misinterpretation, or maybe an interpretation that they feel is valid. And then other people see it, don't really look into it themselves a ton, and jump on the hashtag too because they just want to be fired up about it. And so I'm like you. I had no idea. I'm not reading Captain America. I had only heard about the big to-do about it over this last week, I guess, where it's been a social media explosion with people hashtagging fire Rick Remender, and then people, I guess, took over that hashtag and were, you know, using it to be sarcastic and using it to be to sort of undermine it. So they sort of sabotaged the hashtag because they felt that it was just somebody blowing things out of proportion. So I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. I thought it was interesting enough to bring up because it brings up interesting topics. And I think, you know, more than maybe ever before, although maybe not, but it seems like more than ever before, you know, comic books are at the forefront of our culture in a way that maybe they hadn't been before, where issues like this that come up can be something that gains a lot of attention from people who don't just read comic books.
Yeah. And that's funny where you even said that, because I'm like, it didn't even occur to me the angle of the stereotypic racist black angle, I guess. Because my original thought was, when you gave me the explanation here, like, it sounds like he's almost being set up. Like, oh, drink more wine, I'm fine. Like he was being set up by her or something. And then and that was still in the mind that there was a 14-year-old. I'm like, this is just weird. And then when you brought that up, I'm like, oh, my God, this is just stupid now. Why would to me, the angle is, if there's any thought that she's 14, and obviously Falcon is an adult, that is 100% wrong. Again, that's why I point out my daughter, I would be very angry, upset, just not happy, whatever. Was it a black thing? Really? That just disappoints me that in, 2014, that's still a deal.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it is, because a lot of times that's how, black characters are, can be portrayed through various medium. But I think we're on the same boat. I think we feel like it's a little bit of an overreaction. Possibly, I think there's a little bit of error on both sides. Probably Remender could have been a little more sensitive to what was going on and where the character, how the character was perceived, her age, the perception of her age. Probably, overreaction possibly for readers who are taking something that they feel, was something personal with them and it's not that to say that they don't have a right to feel that that's wrong. I'm not saying that by any means.
Yeah.
I kind of am leaning towards that opinion myself of like, well, why? Why do you even have to go there? But, I think blowing it up, making it bigger, and to ask for someone to be fired, I think is an interesting aspect of it, too. I mean, you're talking about, sure, you want to protest something, you want to not follow Captain America anymore, you want to not read anything that Remender writes, go ahead. But to, go on to social media and call for the man to be fired, that's a bit much and kind of maybe overstepping a line. I don't know. I think so.
Well, I think that's where I definitely think social media and this immediate, gotta have it now attitude.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. There are so many works of fiction throughout history that are just, honestly, I think they're inappropriate. I don't like them. I think they're stupid. Okay, I'm not going to read that again. I'm not going to read that author again. Fine. Cool. Right. I'm not asking for that guy to be fired and nobody ever read his stuff again, because that's my opinion. I don't know what other people's opinions are. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think so, too. Cool. Well, I'm glad we kind of touched on it, because I thought it was a pretty important topic and something worth chatting about.
Sure.
All right.
Well, we also had another bit of timely news that was just announced today. Mr. Brandon Routh coming to the forefront again?
Yeah. Our the Superman that most of us don't really care for Superman Returns, Bryan Singer's interpretation, which... I don't know if I've ever met anyone who likes that film, Superman fan or not. But he will be back in the DC Universe, this time with the very popular series Arrow, which is going into its third season. And he is going to play Ray Parker, better known as the Atom, which I thought was, I've always liked the Atom. I thought he was a pretty cool character.
There's really no comparison, and I don't know why in my mind there's a comparison, Ant-Man versus Atom. I've always been an Atom guy, and usually I'm more of a Marvel guy, so that's why it's weird, but I've always liked Atom. I think he's a fantastic character. I can't stand Superman Returns. For the longest time, I hated Bryan Singer because he destroyed Superman and X-Men in one fell swoop. If you don't know that story, then send me a comment. I will explain it in ad nauseum to you. But I never, ever, ever blame Brandon Routh. I never thought it was his fault. I thought the screenwriting for Superman Returns sucked. I thought Kevin Spacey, although an amazing actor, was not a good Lex Luthor, only because he wasn't playing Lex Luthor. He was playing Gene Hackman playing Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they were thinking based back to the story. It's like they're writing an origin story with him and saving the airplane. They're writing almost the life and death of Superman with disillusions of him dying. And then they're writing about him having a child. And I'm like, why don't you pick one movie and one theme and go with that instead of trying to touch all these things?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my biggest complaint with that movie is just that it was too much of a tribute to the previous movies. And I mean, Ralph did it. He did a great job basically acting like Christopher Reeve did and playing that same Superman, which, you know, in and of itself is kind of a, you know, a nice, I can appreciate that, but we really wanted something different. Let that exist in the 80s and let it be what it is. So,
and I think that might have been it, the concept to do it was great. And Universal going along with it, cool. Because when you just say about it, hey, we want to continue the Star Wars theme that was created by Christopher Reeve, cool. We want to use the John Williams music, cool. We want to use cut scenes of Marlon Brando to overlay some of the Superman stuff. Awesome. Okay. I love that idea. If you pitched that to me and I was executive, I'd be like, yeah, fantastic. And then the product you showed me, I was like, oh, my God, I okayed this? This is awesome. So I can understand the concept going well, but just the way they did it was not good. I'm sorry, Mr. Singer. You've redeemed yourself since then, but I blame you still. Anyway, I'm excited by this. I think Brandon Routh has had a bad rap because of that since then. I think the Atom is a great character for him to come onto, and to be on the show, Arrow, is, I mean, it's great. It's great.
Yeah, I agree, too. I mean, my favorite thing about Arrow, and I haven't seen all of Season 2, but is bringing in all these other DC characters and putting them on screen. And keep doing it. Just do as many as you want, because they've been doing a good job of it.
He might be, I'm trying to cycle through who they brought on, he might be the first that I'm really thinking is going to be, has to be CG heavy. Unless they do something really weird that I can't even fathom what they're going to do with them.
Yeah, but, I don't know. Unless they don't go with the Atom part, and he's just, you know, Palmer for a while. But they did it, I think, and I haven't seen these episodes, but when they had the Flash on, they had to do some CG there. So
no, he wasn't the Flash on the show.
Oh, he was just, okay, well, then maybe that is it.
We see him getting in his accident, but we, if my memory serves me correct, and folks, I have a bad memory, as you may have already been aware, I don't remember him actually being the Flash on the show.
Okay.
And obviously, the pilot has been leaked, so that's out there. A lot of commercials and trailers are out there where we've seen the Flash. But on the Arrow, I'm trying to think. I don't remember any characters that were super CG constantly. So I'm very interested.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes to.
Cool.
Any other new news, or is that, should we move on to our next?
Let's go on to our next. I'm curious about this topic.
Okay. Legos. I think we're going to do kind of a Lego-centered type of theme here. And the sort of list that we're going to comment upon that we've looked at is coolest-themed Lego sets. Now, on some of these are actual Lego sets, and some of these are fan-created Lego ideas that they had made. I guess Lego was holding a competition so that they for ideas that they would actually turn into Lego sets. So they're pretty cool. I thought we'd start with the list, and then you and I would talk about our favorite Legos when we were growing up, and then maybe our kids' favorite Legos now, because Legos are far different now than they were when we were kids.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, I think I'm going to come off as like the angriest nerd ever.
Uh-oh.
Like, my childhood was awful with the way these episodes are turning out. But I looked at the list of Legos, and I'm like, you know what? We didn't have themed Legos. Like, we had, like, the firehouse, or, I don't know. We didn't have movie themes, that's for sure.
No,
I don't remember anything like that. So it was like, what's your favorite Lego? I guess the red one? I don't know. Well, we didn't have anything themed. We saw Star Wars, and I had to make my own X-Wing, which obviously looked like crap, because we didn't have the internet to help us. Build anything like that. So, yeah, 8-year-old Jimmy sitting there trying to make an X-Wing with zero directions and no set. Well, yeah, I guess I am coming off as angry nerd.
You are today. That's okay, though. That's all right.
So let's look at the... Jimmy loves this list. Holy cow.
Yeah, they're pretty cool, and some of them are actual sets. The first one that they actually list is the Star Wars Millennium Falcon. The detail in it is just amazing, and what they've been able to do with Legos, even with moving parts and stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know you probably know this from your son and the Legos that you've played with. I mean, they can fire things now, and it's all kinds of. Sometimes you even have them where you turn something, doors open and close, and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, that's crazy. I don't remember the Millennium Falcon specifically, but James, we got him a Lego book from Star Wars that showed all the Legos released that were Star Wars themed, and I don't remember what the end date was, because obviously they can't include everything past that. But it was really amazing, the things they turned into Legos, and mainly because I'm talking about the number of pieces included. Because I remember they had several different Death Stars. Obviously, we're talking about the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
There may have been one or two Millennium Falcons, and I'm like, oh, my Lord, this is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Death Star, if memory serves me right, is something like $300 or $400 you have to get. I think you have to order it or something. Yeah, yeah.
That's
pretty cool.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
So, but this one didn't seem like it was quite that much, but it is certainly pretty darn cool. I think you can even, you know, pretend to have Han Solo's leg get stuck in the door, and then he'll have to miss filming for a while. I don't know. Don't quote me on that, though.
They got old man Solo on the ship. That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. The second one is a Back to the Future, the DeLorean, which I guess was one of the ones that they did turn into a reality. So that one they actually have made a Lego set of. So I'm going to have to keep an eye out for that one. That one's really cool.
I don't know if you're this nerdy to actually go read the comments on these web pages.
I did not look at the comments.
Read the comments, and this poor guy glued golf wings, and then everybody below him ripped on them. They're not golf wings, they're gull wing doors. And I'm like, that's what you're commenting on?
Poor guy.
Yeah,
this is why I don't read the comments, because usually just mean people go there and write things.
there were some trolls, very much.
Yeah.
That's always it. I love Back to the Future. So exciting.
Spirited Away. I don't know how you say this. Yubaba's Bathhouse. Have you seen Spirited Away?
I have not. I have not. My kids love Studio Ghibli, but I've never seen that one.
It is the best one, in my opinion. I love Spirited Away. It's a little... My daughter, I don't think, is quite old enough to watch it yet, but she's got to be pretty close, and I'm glad I saw this because it reminded me of how much I enjoyed it, and I watched it when I was in college, and I thought it was fantastic. But it's a very sort of Alice in Wonderland type of story, you know, where this girl wanders and finds herself in an alternate... reality type of thing. And it's really cool. So if you get a chance, check that out.
Cool.
Obviously, that one was made up and not real. The Avengers Helicarrier, I'm guessing that, this is a real thing. This
that
might be
cute.
The equivalent of the Death Star, but for the Avengers series, I imagine. That would be pretty awesome. Another one out of our price range, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The next one was Jurassic Park T-Rex and Jeep, which I wasn't a huge Jurassic Park fan. I kind of like Jurassic Park, I guess, but I don't know. What did you think? Were you a huge Jurassic Park fan? Would you have wanted that when you were younger?
I loved the movie. It came out on a very special holiday known as June 11th. And if you're unaware, that is my birthday. And every year on my birthday, I go see a movie, whether it's on my birthday or that weekend. And that one actually came out June 11th. I believe it was 96. I believe it was the year I turned 16. But I never got into the toys, though, and that might be why, because I turned 16. But I love the movie, but no, the toys and stuff, I never was a big, huge fan of. I don't know.
Well,
why.
if our listeners are a fan of the movie, apparently if you go and support it, it needs to reach 10,000 supporters, then Lego will consider it for general release. That's what this website says. So I don't know how you would look into that or what. The next one is my favorite. This is the one I wish they would have done, and that is Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I love Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I had an opportunity to be in a production of Spamalot, which is the musical version of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and it was I loved being a part of that. It was a lot of fun. And to have this set, and it's particularly the set that they show, and this one's obviously fan-created, is the bunny. The killer bunny and all the knights hiding behind some rubble and so forth. And look at the bones, you know, down there. I don't see, oh yeah, there's Tim the Enchanters right in there too. So, and then I agreed with the little blurb underneath it that, they would have to include though, the Black Knight, because you would want to pull his arms and legs off in the epic battle scene. But, that's my opinion on that one.
It's such a question. I love my I honestly, I prefer, and I think a lot of the songs from Spamalot came from The Life of Brian, specifically I can't say the words because they're naughty words, but when you look at it, Life's a Pizza, look at the bright.
Yes, Look at the Bright Side of Life, which is from Life of Brian, you're exactly right. Yes, a few of the songs do come from that, because that had more songs, I believe, in it, but it's a classic. If you don't, you haven't seen it and you get a chance to see Spamalot, go see it. It's a hilarious show, especially if you're a Monty Python fan.
I don't think I ever told you. Out here in Vegas, they had Spamalot as a residency, and I got to see it with, I can't remember his real name, but Jay Peterman from Seinfeld.
Really?
He was the one of the knights. I can't remember which knight, but it was so awesome, so amazing.
Yeah.
Love that show.
That's too funny, because I saw him as Billy in Chicago when that was tour. So he really was making the rounds.
Wow, that's funny. That is musicals.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Cool. Next one, another Star Wars theme, the Star Destroyer. This is the Super Star Destroyer, I believe.
Whoa, not so fast, sir, because in the comments, somebody made sure they let us know that it's not a Super Star Destroyer. And to be honest, no, it's not. I know that just because I'm that nerdy. But no, it's a pretty awesome version of the Star Destroyer, though.
Yes, it does look pretty awesome. Definitely not a just regular one, I don't think. I mean, look at all the condos that are on the top of it. I don't know. it looks bigger to me. I'm not a Star Destroyer expert like you are, but it is very cool looking. That's for certain.
Yes, it is awesome.
The next one is an actual set. Lord of the Rings, the Tower of Orthanc, which comes with an Ent, which I thought was cool. I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. My whole family is too, and I know this would be one that we would love to have in the family as well.
Like you said earlier, one of those characters that, that the Ent specifically is a Lego, I would have just never imagined. I'm like, wow, things have definitely changed with Lego. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is definitely cool. Definitely cool. And the next one is one I think that we actually have at my house because we're such Batman fans, and that's the Dark Knight Rises Tumbler Chase. And I think the only reason that they actually put this on the list was because of the box, because it has Jim Gordon shooting at the tumbler, just blasting away at it. The selling points has to be Gary Oldman's Commissioner Gordon firing a gun in anger at Bane's vehicle and making us all forget that Lego was for children. So, I don't know.
That's awesome.
Thought it was amusing. You got to get at least one Batman in there.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. I have to say my favorite of my son's Batman Lego sets is probably, though, the Joker set that he got where he has the Joker's hideout. That one's pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, definitely. The next one is Tron Legacy, the Light Cycle. Now, did you get the idea that this thing is like you can actually sit on it? It's 30 inches in length. Now that can't be right. I don't even. My math is bad. What's 30 inches? What is that?
Like just under 3 feet, 2.5 feet.
So wow. It's pretty big, and it's 3,000 to 4,000 pieces. And it says we wouldn't even blame you for trying to sit on it. So it must be close to a size where you could sit on it. Or a small child at least could and pretend it was their life cycle. So I mean,
or
just
a 37-year-old Jimmy. Come on, I love Tron. There's
true.
Not enough Tron stuff. So when you see, yeah, that would be awesome.
And then the next one is Anchorman Ron Burgundy minifigure. And I just love that it's the figure.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And this little crooked little mustache.
Yes.
Did you skip one on purpose here?
Did I
little,
skip one? I did
no,
not
Dr.
mean
Bob,
to skip
Dr.
that.
Jones?
That was not on purpose, although I do feel that is not my favorite of the Indiana Jones films. It's not the worst, because that's easy, hands down, the last one they just did, the fourth one. But, no, I did not mean to skip that one, and if I were to get a Lego set of Indiana Jones, I think the Temple of Doom would be a cool one just because you have the carts, the railroad track carts, and that would be fun to play with that aspect of it.
I'm with you. I've actually argued that Temple of Doom is the worst, but the Lego part or the Lego aspect of it with the train cart thing on tracks, whatever, I'm like, that's pretty awesome. I like that. I like that concept there.
Yeah, it definitely is. Definitely fun to play with. The playability of it is
exactly.
cool. Whereas the Star Destroyer, I don't know how playable that is. It just might look cool as a display manner, but
try hanging that from the ceiling. You're going to rip your ceiling down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when you'll probably break out the Craggle and actually make sure that it gets put together so it doesn't pieces don't fall down on top of your
nice.
Hand.
Nice. Good call.
So I'm sorry.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't want Spielberg after me. He's got a lot of power and influence.
Rough.
But yeah, the next one is probably my second favorite, only in that I don't think they would ever make it. And so, and that's why I put Monty Python ahead of it, because I think there's a chance for that one. But I love Shaun of the Dead. That is one of my favorite movies. It definitely is my favorite zombie movie. Just because it's hilarious. It's just so funny. And so they have the Winchester, so it's the actual pub. And it's surrounded by zombies, and I love that there was a clown zombie amongst them. I just thought that was great.
I love that set, just the look of it. And I was not reading careful enough. I'm like, oh, my God, they really made that? And then I looked back and I'm like, oh,
right?
Darn.
You're looking to order it. Where's it at? Where's it at?
Exactly.
All right, I'm not going to skip Spielberg again. E.T. E.T. the Home. I am not an E.T. fan. I never really liked E.T. even when I was a kid. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly why I didn't like it. But this just does not look appealing at all. And I think it's just because of my lack of nostalgia for it. Because other than that, it's kind of just a boring...
No.
Is there anything to it? Or?
It's not your lack of nostalgia, because I've seen E.T. rather recently. Kids love it, which I was really worried because when I saw it, I was scared, sad, all those emotions. My kids saw it like no big deal. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I was sensitive as a kid. But looking at this set, I'm like, really? Detached suburban house, truck, small brown alien, guy with flowers. That sounds awful. It's stupid. I don't want that. So no, I don't see the point.
The only interesting thing was that there was a block bag prop of Reese's Pieces. that was kind of funny. But, that's about it. Yeah, nothing really that interesting there.
Yeah.
The next one is Man of Steel, the Smallville Brawl, which I think is just cool because you get all of the bad guys in it. You have Zod, and I don't remember the other two's names because they're not the same as the characters from Superman.
Fiora, something like that with the girl.
I don't know, you got me. It's probably in here if I read it. But yeah, it looks kind of cool. I loved their vehicles in that movie. I thought the like bug look of them, like they look like beetles and stuff. I thought was pretty cool. And,
That movie seems to get some backlash, like, ooh, I hated that movie. It's like, I enjoyed it. I still enjoy it. Yeah, there's scenes that I'm like, okay, I don't like that part. But I overall enjoyed the movie, so I don't know why people are hating on it.
There's a lot of people, especially Superman purists, who really, really had an issue with it because of how kind of dark it was. Yeah.
See our comments about Superman Returns and talk to me.
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't like the new Superman, it's probably because of Superman Returns in a way, because it was a swing of the pendulum the other way. Like, let's do something completely different from the Christopher Reeves version.
Yeah.
The next one is Ghostbusters Ecto 1 Car, which I know you love Ghostbusters. I love Ghostbusters. That is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. I love Ghostbusters. And what can you say?
Yeah.
I will add, though, that Mr. Spielberg is really going to show up at your house in Michigan and beat you, because you also skipped the Goonies.
No, I didn't. I did. Oh, it must be. Yeah, I better watch out. It's a good thing I'm on vacation. He can't find me.
So as the NSA is listening in on us, and I know pass their information off to Mr. Spielberg, it is Jason Applegate, Applegate, not Jim Palmquist. Jim Palmquist loves Steven Spielberg. He would never do anything against Mr. Spielberg or Mr. Lucas since they're best friends. Anyway, go ahead.
I love that this set has Chunk.
Yeah.
I love that this set has Sloth. Those are my two favorite characters. And Data is awesome, too. But the fact that they included both of those characters in it when... I guess they are in the end of the pirate scene, aren't they? And the fact that it's a pirate boat, that makes sense. I mean, they've done pirates for a long time, even when we were kids.
Yeah.
Towards the end of when we were collecting Legos, I believe they came out with pirate sets. My son has a pirate ship from, of course, Pirates of the Caribbean now. But I don't see why this couldn't be made. And it's another one that, needs some more support towards the 10,000, whatever that means, but to actually have it made. But it looks pretty darn cool. Pretty darn cool.
Wait, have your...
Go ahead.
No, a bit.
Have your kids seen Goonies yet?
No.
Yeah, mine haven't either. I think... My son did about the age, and maybe my daughter is where they would enjoy it. I think I was about their age when I watched it the first time. So,
that's something we've talked about a little bit, and we'll talk about actually in our next segment. But, it's weird that I'm pretty sure I saw Goonies by this point. I know I've seen Ghostbusters by my son's age, but still I'm like, oh, man, I don't know. And I watched Ghostbusters recently to give it that test again, and there's just that opening scene in the library where it's like, that is scary. Really scary, in my opinion, for a kid. So I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And once you show them, you can't unshow them. That's what I'm afraid of.
Absolutely. That's an excellent, excellent point. So, yeah, I think it's another one of those of you just got to kind of, it's good that you rewatch it. Because that was, if you look back, and I think it was our first episode, or maybe our second, of the parenting, my first parenting fail was an example of not rewatching something from when I was a kid and not remembering the ways in which it was scary and somewhat inappropriate. So make sure you do that. So let's move on then to our memories of Legos. And we've already commented on how they don't quite stack up in the different types of pieces and the movability and all of that stuff. But there were no movie-based ones. They were just thematic. You had basically city, from what I remembered, you had the city Legos, you had the medieval Legos, the Middle Ages Legos, and you had the space Legos. Now, I had the space Legos. That was my thing. My brother, he had all the medieval Legos. So it was sort of he collected, and I say collected, and that's not really true. It was just like we got those, right? He had the medieval ones, and so we would play with each other's Legos, but... that was our little niche. How about you? Which ones did you have? Rant on about your lack of Legos.
Okay, you ready? I had red ones, white ones, yellow ones, blue ones.
Yeah.
I always coveted the medieval ones. I don't know why. I didn't have anything like that. I clearly, my parents hated me, like I said before, and they just bought me generic Lego, not generic Legos. Yeah, they bought me the actual Legos, but I didn't get anything. I just had Legos.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So they're
going to
be creating his own castle. He has no direction, so it obviously sucked and got taken over by other better, more well-equipped Lego makers.
Ugh. Well, you know, though, it started your creative mind. You didn't have to follow the directions. Yeah, you were okay.
Yeah, I'm an angry rebel. That's what I am. Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say, to add to Lego theme, now that we're in Vegas, we've been to San Diego several times, and Legoland out there is amazing. When I first heard that, oh, we can go to amusement park for Legoland, that sounds silly. Why would I even need a full day for that? Yeah, we had 3 days, and it was amazing. I went back every day. You saw some of the most amazing things built, and, oh, what? What is that? There was Star Wars theme? Yeah. They had a whole section of the park that was all Star Wars. They covered the 6 movies that have been out to date, and then they had a couple other lands, planets that had been explored, and it was just awesome. They had a life-size Darth Vader, life-size Chewbacca, R2-D2 hanging about. It was so awesome. Loved it. I don't know if that attraction is still there, but you just learn so much about Lego itself, the company. It's just amazing the things, the strides they go to for lack of a better description, perfection. They have the Lego molds that they will take out of production. They destroy them so nobody else knows their trade secrets, but they want to make sure after they use it so many times, and they've got it down to a science, that it's no longer pressing Legos just in case they do a malfunction or a bad Lego. So they take that mold out of production, destroy it, and replace it. They have, at Legoland, they have very specific Legos you can buy. They have almost like an old candy store, these bins filled with individual Lego pieces, and you can go pick pieces out, mix and match. You literally put them in a bag like an old candy store, and you take them up and you buy them. They have plays and games. It's just such a cool place. I never would have thought that. They even had an aquarium, which I thought was kind of weird in Legoland. But I highly recommend. They also had city skyscrapers. I believe I was obviously a little more interested in the Star Wars, so I wasn't paying as much attention to the building. But I believe they recreated specific cities, so you can go see a different city. I believe they also had like Mount Rushmore, which was pretty awesome. But just the things that you see that they can do with Legos was unbelievable, truly amazing.
Yeah, and they have those at a bunch of different cities. I think we've been to the one in Chicago.
Oh, cool.
And they have them at a couple different cities. I don't know if it's as big as the one you're talking about in Las Vegas or not, but they'll have some displays like that. And I always like the life-size ones that they build out of just the blocks. Like, it's a life-size Batman, and it's built out of gray and black, you know, and yellow blocks and stuff. Those are pretty cool, too. So definitely worth a visit. Cool. So we polled some people, some of our listeners, and asked them, what are your favorite Legos from you when you were a kid? And when I looked at it this morning, it seemed to me that most people had either space or they had city. Those were the two that seemed to be the most popular, so not as many of the medieval or the pirate. There were a couple of those, though, so some of us had them.
Nobody went with red, yellow, blue?
They did not. They did not say red, yellow, blue. I think that, and I really think that when we were kids was when they first started doing these sort of thematic sets where it was space Legos, not just Legos, where you bought just a container of plastic Legos. So
That's what I will start telling myself is that technology didn't make it to Medina, Ohio. We just had the Legos.
Must not have. Must not have. Cool. So moving on then to recommendations and to stick with the Lego theme, my recommendation is if you haven't seen it yet, which I would be shocked if most of our listeners hadn't already seen it, and that's the Lego movie. I loved that movie. I think we saw it a good 2 or 3 times in the theaters. I bought it on DVD the day it came out and have watched it 2 or 3 times since. And it's just so funny, so creative, has a great message, which is always important to me. What a great Batman. I thought Batman stole the show. And you, if you know anything about me, that will just do it for me. Batman is my favorite. So the fact that he was, you know, this basically kind of a frat boy type of Batman was just such a hilarious and creative take on the character.
Yeah, and I love Will Arnett, who voiced Batman. He did a bang-up job. You're wrong, sir. He did not steal the show. It was Mr. Lando Calrissian who stole the show. But I definitely loved Batman. What was he? I think he went on to talk about his favorite color. He's like, black. For a very, very, very dark gray. And it's like,
yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Superman and Green Lantern, I believe.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, it was Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill.
Yes, which hilarious.
Was a hilarious inside joke if you watch 21 Jump Street, which was hilarious to me, surprisingly so. I still haven't seen the sequel, but I love that because Jonah Hill as Green Lantern was just sort of the sycophant trying to always play Superman, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, that
Superman.
Movie, oh, it was so good. It took a nice twist, which I did not see coming. I'm sure people were like, oh, I saw that coming. I'm like, I did not see that coming. It was highly entertaining. Good call.
Yeah, great actors. Morgan Freeman was awesome. Just a lot of the little one-liner jokes that are nice that were specifically geared towards us nerds, like the Green Lantern, making fun of Green Lantern. I loved the invisible jet getting blown up. I just thought that was hilarious, you know. And one of my favorites is Dumbledore, when Morgan Freeman's character keeps calling him Dumbledore. I will from now on always refer to Dumbledore as Dumbledore. I'm just going to do that because I always like to give Harry Potter fans a hard time anyway because I teach most of them in high school. So anytime I can do that, it's a good time. So
That's funny.
Definitely see it if you haven't already. I think most of you probably have, but you know, bust it out tonight maybe, family movie night, and see it again.
Heck yeah.
How about you? What's your recommendation?
Well, I went back to my 80s, and once again, I think I'm going to have to go under hypnosis at some point and figure out how I came about some of these movies that I've seen. And this one in particular, it's awesome. I believe Disney was trying to start a franchise back with the 80s superheroes, and it clearly did not catch on. Condor Man.
Yes.
I have loved that movie for a very long time. My wife somehow found it on DVD, and I remember her telling me the story that she went and she had to go on DVD, I think it was Empire online, and they're like, what movie do you want? She actually had to call them. And they're like, what movie? I don't know. Let me look at my stock. They're like, oh, my God, yeah, we have, like, six of these laying around. Are you sure? And I was like, yes. And it totally looks like they just ripped the VHS copy onto DVD. But it doesn't matter. Because it is awesome. And trivia, do you know who played Condor Man?
I have a vague memory of Condor Man is all. I do not remember who played him. Go for it.
Well, he's a little-known artist who was in a movie called Something Funny Happened on the Way to the Forum. But he was also in a little-known Broadway musical. You may have heard of it. Phantom of the Opera. Michael Crawford.
Really? Really?
Yes.
How very, very strange.
Oh, I love that. I love that that's the case.
That's great. Cool. So you watched it again with your kids, too, I take it?
Heck yeah.
Did they love
too,
or?
No. No, they tolerate it with me. It really is probably kind of boring for somebody their age because it doesn't hold your attention that long. I mean, it's deep storytelling, let me tell you what. But, yeah, it doesn't hold their attention that well. I'm probably the only one in the world that likes it. But if you guys have seen, I don't remember which short it was, but it was a short from the Toy Story series, I believe, and it was the one where they got the Happy Meal toy sort of thing. There's a Condor Man Happy Meal toy.
There you go.
I was so happy at that.
That was a tribute just for you. And if any of our other listeners are also nostalgic for Condor Man, apparently there are 5 more copies left.
Yes.
You can get your hands on.
Hurry now. Limited time offer.
Right. Very cool. Very cool. I like when you get to enjoy something from your childhood that you're, you know, with your kids, and they never quite enjoy it to the same level that you do, but if they enjoy it at all, It's a win. It's got to be a win.
And that is nice, because there are certain things in there that, like, he loves, James specifically loves to see Condorman flying, and it's the cheesiest special effects, and I think only children believe that that could be real, because it looks so awful, but
yes.
It's nice to see that he believes that this guy is flying, and then he loves the boat and the car, which is awesome.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is cool. All right, on to our Nerd Cave recommendations, then, which is the adults-only recommendation.
Yeah.
And I'll start off with that one, too. Last week, we talked a little bit about Robot Chicken and how much they would parody things from the 80s when we were growing up.
Sure.
And so it made me think of one of my favorite series, which, again, I think probably a lot of our listeners have seen this and watch it, but that is Venture Brothers. I love the Venture Brothers. And they parody everything from Scooby-Doo to Johnny Quest. I think it's probably what they parody the most, with just the concept of the show. But all kinds of things from not only the 80s, but even before, from probably what the cartoons that your parents, that our parents watched when they were younger. And it's just hilarious show, very, very sarcastic, sardonic, definitely adult-oriented. Dr. Girlfriend is one of my favorite characters, and she is, not appropriate for small children to be watching, but very, very funny indeed. And then, of course, if you want to check it out, the henchmen are probably the funniest characters, and it's cool because in season one, you just sort of love them as their little henchmen characters, and then they must have picked up on that because then they just really develop those characters, and they become more central characters as the seasons go on and on. So give it a shot if you haven't already checked it out.
That's very cool. Very cool. I agree. I will go in a little different route. In Netflix, they have the original series on TV of Miami Vice. And I remember as a kid peeking in on an episode or two while my dad was watching it. Obviously, I wasn't supposed to be watching it because there are some very dark... Actually, there are a lot of dark things because it's all about Vice in Miami. And the one scene I remember specifically when I was a kid was one of the cops got killed, and he was in a shower, and they set him up as if he'd been a drug user. And it was so funny watching that scene again as an adult. I'm like, wow, that's so powerful. But, man, as a kid, that was like, oh, my God, I cannot believe that just happened. So that was interesting to watch that again. But the whole series, it has one of the best openings ever. But it's funny to see it did not start that way exactly. It's a little different from the very first episode. It's funny how they massaged it to be the best opening ever. But the guest stars on there are crazy. Like, you have Oliver Platt. These are just a small sample. Oliver Platt, John Leguizamo, Vincent D'Onofrio, Ted Nugent, Helena Bonham Carter, Chris Rock. I was like, I didn't even know you was old enough to be on that show. It's crazy. James Brown. I mean, it's just, the list goes on and on. I'm just shocked. I'm not all the way through the whole series, but it's interesting to watch. There are a lot of bad episodes, but there are a lot of really good episodes. It does have that 80s cheesy police drama aspect to it sometimes, and they have delved into space aliens and hypnosis and weird things like that. But for the most part, it's like, man, this is a pretty good show. So I would highly recommend visiting Miami Vice.
Very cool. Very cool. Good recommendations, I think, as a whole.
Yeah,
all right.
So
let's move on, and I'd like you to start, if you don't mind. Parenting wins or parenting fails, whichever one you want to start with.
Well, let's start with the fail so I can feel good about myself after the win. The fail, which, I'll be honest, I still don't necessarily see as a fail, but it is a bone of contention with my wife and I, Allison, because she saw it fail. James, I guess it was it 2 years ago when the Avengers came out, the first one? I want to say it was about 2 years ago. I went and picked up James, got him a little early out of school, thinking I'm going to be awesome dad, and took him to go see opening weekend, so it was Friday earlier in the day, so nobody was really there, saw the Avengers. Because he'd been wanting to see it. He'd seen the cartoons and some of the toys, and he thought that was awesome. So we went and saw the Avengers. And lo and behold, it was pretty good. I didn't think there was anything terrible. There were a couple times James had to go to the bathroom, so we went to the bathroom. We probably went about two or three times, and he was, I want to say, five or six at the time, probably six, and it was fine. So we finished watching it, get home, whatever, no big deal. He loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it, told Alf all about it. Well, Alf and I finally got to see it at home on DVD or whatnot, and watching it the whole time, I saw that she enjoyed it, but she was obviously angry, and I didn't understand why. So when I presented her with what's going on, she was mad at me because I had allowed our 5 to 6 year old son see this in the theater. And I swear to you that we must have gone to the bathroom during the worst times because I did not remember them and I didn't think it was that bad. So, and he loved it. So yeah, every time we see anything to do with Avengers, I'm still in trouble. I don't see the parenting fail, but just the fact that Allison does puts it in that realm. Yeah, that's my parenting fail.
Yeah. Ultimately, the wife is the litmus test, I think, on all of these thing fails or wins. and I can relate to that. I did the same mistake to Iron Man 3, but we were in the movie theater when we watched Iron Man 3 with my son and daughter. And so I got several of the big size and sideways glances.
and nothing you can do, you're stuck. It's like a prison.
Oh. No, we had popcorn. We had paid, you know, $800 for everything that was in our lap and our and everything else. So you're in longer, buddy.
Yes.
Yeah, I can certainly relate. I'm sure you can. So that brings us to our very first, episode 7 is our very first listener-shared parenting fail.
Nice.
Yes, hopefully first of many so that
hopefully.
Jimmy and I can feel good about ourselves. Or, I don't know, I think we might run out of material and make stuff up.
There you go. That's always better.
That's what we'll go with, yeah. So here's his parenting fail, and it comes from our listener, Doug, who's become one of our favorites and definitely has his two cents in several times. So we thank you, Doug, for doing that. Here's his parenting fail. He says he took one of his shadows, as he calls his children, Reagan, this time, to the grocery store to take back the pop bottles. Very, very popular thing in Michigan because you get 10 cents for each bottle. So big money there.
Thank you for saying pop.
What's that?
Thank you for saying pop.
Yes, yes. We say pop here. Yeah, we don't say soda.
I don't
know if we say
soda.
Yeah, I don't know that either. But this is now the second week in a row where we've insulted fans from other states. But
nice.
That's okay. They can survive. They'll forgive us. They can just insult us back. There's lots of things we'll do that with. So he's taking the pop cans back to the grocery store. She gets finished with the nice, clean soda bottles. Then she decides to grab the beer cans that I was working on. Then proceeds, she says, to dump the stale bottom of the can on herself.
Oh.
And then they're at the grocery store, so she sees her friends from dance class and her teacher from the high school and a friend who is a police officer, all while smelling like stale Guinness.
Nice.
So, yes. First, I must commend Doug having a good taste in beer with Guinness.
Yeah.
And second, I have to, he did confess to me that the teacher that he saw at the shopping mall or at the grocery store was in fact me. So I don't remember her smelling like stale beer. So
were you
embarrassed
when you called the social workers and had them show up at his house?
Yeah, I'm a character witness if he needs it. Yeah, no, he's a good guy, and so he's going to be the parenting win share too. So I just thought it was great of Doug to share that hilarious
that
parenting fail. Yeah, awesome.
Wow. Yeah, things happen.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't control that. Your daughter's helping you with the recycling. It's great, you know, lots of fun, help dad get things done quicker. I'm sure he probably gave her some of the, you know, the change in return to, you know, do whatever with, and, you know, she spilled a little on herself. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Exactly.
Cool. Parenting wins, then. You want to start off with those two?
Sure. I, as you know, or may not know, I don't know, I'm a big poster collector, screen prints. A lot of them come from Mondo, which is a company online, mondotees.com. And they've become, I mean, I started about 4 years ago, and since that time, they've become uber, uber popular. I mean, it's a poster will drop, and you're lucky if you have a minute to grab one.
Wow.
And I mean, literally a minute. There are very, very many documented tales of people failing at grabbing the poster and being upset and mad and ranting and raving online. And this isn't for every poster. These are for the more popular ones. And one of the most popular artists is Tom Whalen. Tom Whalen's been with him for a long time doing stuff. He did a Lego Movie poster, which was great, fantastic, which I actually picked up. And most recently, he did a Frozen one. And the moment I saw that, I obviously knew that I had to get that. So I was fretting and worried because it's hard to get. I didn't know if I could get it. And I know my daughter loves Frozen. So I didn't even show her the poster online because I did not want her to be upset if I didn't get it. It comes. It drops. I went through the whole process. Got the Frozen poster. It was fantastic. Didn't tell her about it still. I waited for it to arrive in the mail. Took out one of her other posters. Put it up in her room. So she came home and saw the Frozen poster right next to the Wreck-It Ralph poster, which was awesome. And I felt like $1 million when she saw that. That's her favorite movie, and I had successfully gotten it for my little princess. So I felt definitely parenting win on that one.
That is awesome. That is very cool. Really? Really? Frozen is your daughter's favorite movie? That's surprising.
Yeah, I know, right?
She's It is really good. It is a good one. Cool. Well, our parenting win, the one I'm going to share, is from Doug, who shared his parenting fail. And I think his parenting win far outweighs the parenting fail. So the background information that he has for us is that he's been recently trying to get into woodworking. Spending time in the shop is relaxing, even though, I'm reading his words, my wife insists on calling it the garage. Anyway, I wanted to let the kids try a project, so I brought Reagan down and showed her a bunch of simple birdhouses. So here's their conversation. Me, Reagan, would you like to build something like one of these birdhouses? Reagan, I want to build a TARDIS. Me, a TARDIS birdhouse? We can maybe do that. Reagan, no, a real TARDIS that flies and spins and is bigger on the inside. Me, speechless. So a nice moment. His, obviously, his daughter shared his love for Doctor Who and wants to build a not just a bird, like actual TARDIS. He goes on to say, Reagan and I built a bright red birdhouse. So she did settle for the birdhouse eventually. And then he decided to do the same thing with his son, Caleb. When Caleb says, Dad, I don't want to build a birdhouse. Can we build a machine that will clean the whole house so that we can play outside? And, of course, they couldn't do that. So Caleb and Doug built a, I think I'm saying this right, trebuchet, which you know, a basically like a medieval catapult-looking thing.
Yep.
It's awesome. He sent me a he says it doesn't clean anything, but it does throw a mini basketball across the yard. And he finishes with the, exactly, he finishes with the family that builds siege weapons together stays together. So I thought that was a great, great one to share in. Hopefully,
that's very cool.
Many more of our parenting wins from listeners like this one.
Yes. Totally agree.
Cool.
Totally agree. So that wrap us up this week?
I think so. I think it's been a good show. I know we were thinking about wars and the right way to show them, but I think with our Lego-centered theme, I think we will save that maybe for next week. So a little teaser for
I was going to say, I think they call that a tease, Mr. Applegate. I think we're getting through this game.
We're learning.
I think we're
this whole thing.
After the commercial break. No.
Yeah,
I think we're getting it. Well, Mr. Applegate, another fantastic episode. And listeners, as always, please remember to comment on nerdlocker.com, to visit us on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, all with the splash nerdlocker. And until episode 8, have a nerdy week.